Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Daf Kuf Gimel. We are at the Mishnah 10 lines from the top of the Amud. And what the Gemara discussed earlier, the heter to do malachis in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the Karbonis. We discussed the concept of Ein Shavus Vamikdash. The Chachamim suspended the Isurei Derabbanan on Shabbos and Yom Tov for the sake of the Akrov of the Karbonis. We discussed the case of the harp whose string snapped on Shabbos. The Gemara tells us we can repair it in order to enable the Levi to use it for the Avodah. And the Mishnah Bayas as well will proceed to discuss another example of where the Chachamim suspended the Isur Malacha on Shabbos for the sake of Karbonis. Says the Mishnah, Choytchen Yabelas B'Migdash. They can go ahead and remove, cut off the wart which surfaced on the carbon animal in the Beis HaMikdash in order to remove that mum, the blemish, which would make it unsuitable for the Avodah. So that can be done, provided it's done manually by hand, which only entails a shvus de rabbanon, and that shvus was suspended in the face of the carbon. Avoloi b'medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'mikli, if he chooses to use a kli, a utensil, to remove the wart, kan v'kan aser, that would be aser, whether inside the Beis HaMikdash or outside of it. Says Rashi, let's drop down to the wide lines in Rashi. So the first wide line, about halfway into the line, says Rashi, Choytchen yabelas biyad ka'amar, manually, using your hands. But vim bikli kan v'kan aser. If he uses a kli, then he can't remove the wart in that manner, whether in or out of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Va'af agav d'chi ovid name biyad misaken ha'hu. Ask Rashi akasha. What's the difference? Even if he uses his hands, isn't he fixing? Isn't he repairing the carbon? He's cutting away from the flesh of the animal. And that's a malach of Avot Toldo de Goyze. It's a derivative of sharing wool. Afi lohochi, says Rashi, but since he uses his hands, given the kla'achayyad ka'avid, since he's doing it indirectly in a manner which is not the normal way of doing it, she'en kein derech l'choytcha, ela basakin. Ordinarily, you cut the wart using a knife. Therefore, if he uses his hands, ein kana l'shvus, it only involves a shvus, which the Chachamim did not apply in face of the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. V'im b'kli, however, if he should use a kli, kan v'kan aser, that's aser in the Beis HaMikdash or out of it, da'av malacha havi. That's a proper malacha. Ha'yol v'ein mishanah b'kemoish ha'isin b'chol, since he's not deviating from the normal way of doing it, so that's a malacha, and that's not aser, even in the Beis HaMikdash, for the sake of the carbon. Continues the Gemara. Okay, so the Mishnah told us that one can remove a wart from a carbon on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash. V'raminu, we have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Psachim, which indicates otherwise. Harkevai, regarding transporting the animal through the Rosh Hashanah, we're speaking about the carbon Pesach. So if Erev Pesach happens to fall out on Shabbos, you cannot go ahead and transport that animal to the Beis HaMikdash through Rosh Hashanah, or transporting it from outside the Tchum, or removing its wort, ein doichin, they don't override Shabbos. In contrast to our Mishnah, where removal of the wort is allowed on Shabbos. So we have a contradiction. Rebbe actually holds, you may go ahead and do these things, because he holds that even proper malachis can be done for the sake of the enabling of the carbon. Okay, but in any case, from the Tanakhama, who we see does not allow removal of the wart, we have a contradiction to our Mishnah, which does allow. The Gemara will present us with no less than four approaches to answer this contradiction. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, so these two, Amiraim, had two suggestions, two ways to answer the Kasha. Chadamar, one of them, presented as follows. Hava habalacha. Both Mishnahs by us and the Mishnah of Psachim are speaking about moist wart. So it's still part of the flesh. It's not dried up. It's part of the animal. So both Mishnahs are discussing the same type of wart. But like Kasha, the answer is, kan biyad, kan bikli. Our Mishnah is speaking about removing it by hand, which only entails it's a derabbanan, a shvus, as Rashi explained. Therefore, it's mutter. Kan bikli, the Mishnah of Psachim is speaking about removing it using a kli, which is an av malacha. It's a proper manner of doing it, and therefore it's not allowed even for the sake of the carbon. That's one approach. V'chad amar, the other amar answered as follows. Both missions are speaking about removing it manually, by hand. V'leikasha, and the answer is, ha-belacha, ha-bi-yavesha. Our mission is speaking where the wort is dried up, in which case, it doesn't even involve a shvus. It's not even part of the animal any longer. Therefore, it's mutter. Whereas the Mishnah Pesachim is speaking where it's moist and part of the flesh, and removing it would entail a shvus. And apparently, even a shvus would be usser. In this case, because you could have done it before Shabbos. Therefore, there's no reason to override Shabbos. So you have two approaches. Now the Gemara will analyze why each Amora did not subscribe to the other Amora's approach. Now let's analyze the Amora who answered that both missions are speaking about the same type of wort, lacha, it's part of the flesh. However, in our Mishnah, we're speaking about removing it by hand, in which case it's only a shvus. The Mishnah Pesachim is speaking where he's removing it with a kli, which involves a real malacha. So according to that sheet, my timer, why didn't he adopt the other approach? That difference would be whether it's dry or moist. So he'll respond to you as follows. The reason why I didn't adopt that approach is because yivesha. If our mission is speaking about a dry wort, then why restrict it? Why limit the heter to hand removal? Why can't he use a kli if it's just dried up? It's not even part of the flesh. And why does our Mishnah specifically say you can't use a kli? My timer, why would you be allowed to use a kli by a dried wort? Ifrucha, it simply brittles, it crumbles. It's dried up, it's not part of the flesh, there's no concern. It's not a malacha whatsoever, so even a kli would be allowed. That's why I didn't want to adopt that approach. I didn't want to interpret our Mishnah to be speaking about a dry wort, because in that case, a kli would be allowed. And Rashi explains, apparently the other man d'omer holds that a kli would not be allowed in this case, holds that, yeah, even though it's dry and falling apart, but it still appears like he's really being masak in something because he's using a kli. Therefore, it would be awesome. Okay, so that explains why he didn't adopt this approach. And conversely, l'man d'omer, ha-balach ha-bi-yavesha, the other amira, who answered that our Mishnah is speaking about a dry wort, the Mishnah Pesachim, which doesn't allow removal, is speaking about a wet wort. My time alay Omar Habiyat Obekli, why didn't he adopt the other approach? That our Mishnah is speaking about removing it by hand, and the Mishnah Pesachim is speaking about removing it with a kli. What was wrong with that approach? Omar Lach, so he'll respond to you like this. The reason why I preferred my approach rather than saying that the Mishnah Pesachim, which doesn't allow, is because there's a kli there. Amalach b'kli hatnan. We already know that from our Mishnah. Im b'kli kan v'kan aser. Mishnah specifically tells us if he chooses to use a kli, he can't do that, whether in or out of the Beis Hamikdash. So we already know that halacha from our Mishnah Shabbos. Why would the Mishnah Pesachim see a need to repeat the same halacha again? V'idach. So what does the other Amora do with this kasha? Hadik Tani Hasam, the reason why the Mishnah Pesachim repeated the same halacha, although it was already stated in the Mishnah Shabbos, the reason was Mishnah Dekabayi Flugi, Rav Lezer Rabbanan, because the Mishnah wanted to present the machlokes between the Rabbanan, who don't allow, and Rav Lezer, who does allow. As we mentioned earlier, Rav Lezer allows even a malacha, gemura, for the sake of enabling a carbon, machshiri carbon, even if it could have been done before Shabbos. So that's why the Mishnah wants to repeat the halacha to present it in the context of the machlokes Rav Lezer Rabbanan. So the Mishnah there, according to this approach, is speaking about doing a malacha, removing the wort with a kli, which is a malacha deraisa. V'idach. So what does the other Amora respond? He says, you know, it can't be that the Mishnah there is speaking about removing a proper wort with a kli, which is a malacha deraisa. You know why? Because the Mishnah presents a list of different things. Removing the wort, carrying through shesarabim, bringing it from outside the tchum, which all involve only Issa de Rabbanan. So let's assume it's all one category, and everything there entails only the Rabbanan, including wort removal. So apparently it's not speaking about a kli, which would entail Issa de Reis. V'idach, the other sheet that says like this, Dumya, der kevay, v'ave osa mechutz l'tchum ketani. The Mishnah mentions removal of the wort in connection And similar to the other items there, bringing the animal through Rishus Aram, which only involves Issad Rabbanon. Why? Because it's a live creature. And we know that Hachai Noisei Es Atzmai, a living thing, lifts itself a bit, makes itself lighter, in which case there's no Melacha De'iraisa for Hayitzah Rishus Aram. At most, it's only Issad Rabbanon. Likewise, bringing something from out of the Tchum, Tchumen Issad Rabbanon. So we see the whole Mishnah is discussing Issur Rabbanon. Dum Yadar Kevoi. The removal of the wart is similar to transporting the animal through Rishus Aram, which is only Drabbanon, and it is similar and connected to bringing from outside the Tchum, which is also only Drabbanon. So they're only Drabbanon. So apparently the mission there is not discussing removal of the wart with a kli which entails the rice. That's how I prove my approach is correct. V'idach. The other Amora, who interpreted the Mishnah Pesachim to be speaking about a kli, and that's why, that explains why you can't remove it, because it's an Issa D'Oraisa. He responds like this. Actually, the Mishnah there is speaking about Malachis Min HaTorah. Why? It says the Gemara, Harkevoi T'Lekar Nosen. We speak about transporting the animal from through the Rishus Rabbim, we're not following Rav Nosson Shita. The Omar HaChayinai says, Atzma, he says that a living creature lifts itself a bit, in which case there's no Melacha D'Oraisa. No, we're not following that Shita. We're following Shita's Rabban, who hold that even carrying an animal entails Issa D'Oraisa, Melacha of Eitzah. Likewise, Hava Asa Mechasot Chum, Kirav Akiva, when we discuss bringing an animal from outside the boundaries, we're following Rav Akiva, the Omar Tchum D'Oraisa. So yeah, actually the Mishnah there is in the context of Melacha D'Oraisa, and that explains why wart removal is aser, because we're speaking about using a kli, which entails Issa D'Oraisa. So this is the approach of this amar, that the Mishnah Shabbos allows removing the wart because it's a Shuas D'Rabbanan. He's doing it biyad, whereas the Mishnah Pesachim, which does not allow, is because he's removing it with a kli, which is a Melacha D'Oraisa, which was not suspended, not overridden for the sake of the Koran. Says the Gemara, Masif Rav Yosef. How can you say that the Mishnah there is in the context of Melachos D'Oraisa? The Mishnah itself seems to indicate otherwise. Amar Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar presented an argument to support his opinion that all these types of activities can be done for the sake of the Machshirei Korban to enable the Korban Pesach to be brought. And he presented it as follows. Kal v'chaymer, u'mashchita shihi mishum melacha, doichas ha-shabbos. Since we find that even shechting the animal, which, although it's a melacha gemura, nevertheless it's deicha Shabbos, right? You can shech the korban Pesach even on Shabbos. Elu shemishem shvus. These activities which only entail a shvus. Ein edin shidchus haShabbos. Certainly, of course, doesn't lend to the allowance of being deicha Shabbos. So, in any case, we see that we're speaking about Shavuos. Rav Elazar clearly is expressing it in that manner. These are matters of Shavuos. So it seems that the approach adopted by Dan Amira, that the mission there is discussing removing the wart with a kli, which entails Melacha D'Oraisa, and that explains why Tanakhama doesn't allow, that approach seems to be problematic and seems to be contradicted from the words of the mission itself, that the discussion is merely Shavuos. Elam Rav Yosef, he has a third approach to answer the stira between our Mishnah and Shabbos, which allows wart removal, in contrast to Mishnah Pesachim, which does not allow. Hava ha b'yad, both missions are speaking about removing it by hand, which only entails a shvus. And the difference is, u'shvus, the Migdash. When we're speaking about a shvus to enable a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, b'migdash yitiru. They only allow that if it's actually taking place in the Beis HaMikdash, such as our Mishnah, where you're removing the mum from the carpet in the Beis HaMikdash. Yeah. Over there, the Chacham suspended this is the Rabbanon, because it's within the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. So, Shavuos, the Mikdash, he tiru. However, the Mishnah's Pesachim, although he's enabling the carbon to be brought to the Mizbech, but where is this Shavuos taking place? So, every animal owner, every Korban Pesach owner tends to his animal in his own home. That's where he checks it over, makes sure it's free of any mumim, and removes the warts. That type of shvus, the Chachamim did not allow. Shvus the Migdash, to suspend the Eser Shavuos for the sake of Migdash, to enable the carbon to make it suitable for Avoida, bin Medina, but if that Shavuos is taking place outside the Beis HaMikdash, such as in this individual's home, Lo Yitiru, Chum did not suspend their Isser in that manner. Anything outside of Beis HaMikdash is categorized as one, regardless of whether it is for the sake and benefit of a carbon. They did not allow a Shavuos outside Beis HaMikdash confines. They didn't want to differentiate to avoid confusion. And that explains why, although in our Mishnah we allow wart removal because it's done in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the carbon, in contrast to the Mishnah Psachim, where the Tanakhama does not allow wart removal because it's done in the person's home, which is outside the Beis HaMikdash. Yosef Abaye, so Abaye was sitting, the Ka'amal HaShmaita, and he was presenting this approach of Rav Yosef, that even a Shavuos the Mikdash would only be mutter in the actual location of the Beis HaMikdash. Esvi Rav Safra L'Abaye, so Rav Safra challenged him from the Mishnah. If a fellow was sitting reading a scroll on a threshold, and the far side of the sefer rolled away and landed in the Rishas Rabbim in front of the threshold, you can go simply and roll it back, bring it back. Says the Gemara Vahacha, now in this case, the Shavuos the Migdash, the Chacham are suspending an Issa the Rabban, because the sefer is already partially sitting in Shisra Rabbim, so he's holding on to part of the item. He's not really transferring it because it's still partially in his hands. But retrieving that item entails the Issa Shavuos because we're concerned that perhaps next time it's going to completely slip out of his hands and he'll go and fetch it from Shisra Rabbim. So it's the Issa Shavuos. And it involves a sefer which is Migdash. Rashi says it's something of Kedusha. So it's a Shavuos de Migdash, v'ocha, this Shavuos de Migdash, but where is it taking place? B'medino. It's outside the Beis HaMikdash. For Lo Gazrina, we don't see the Chachamah concern. They suspended. There is a Shavuos in this case because it entails a Sefer. For Lo Gazrina, Dilma Nafel, v'os l'suye. We're not concerned that perhaps it's going to completely slip out of his hands, which will tempt him to go and retrieve it. So we see the Chachamah suspended a Shavuos for the sake of Migdash, even outside the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, well, are you Kimna, but haven't we established and interpreted that Mishnah as follows? Biskuba Karmelis. This threshold is merely a Karmelis vishu surabim a veris lefoneo. So it's a Karmelis with a street running in front of him. In which case, it can never lead to a Melacha d'Araisa, because that worst case is going to slip out of his hands. He'll go bring it back from the Shisrabim to the Karmelis. It's only an Issa d'Rabbanan. So in this case, we don't apply an additional gzera. The kivon igda biyadei, since at least part of it is still in his hands, afilu shvus namileka, there isn't even a shvus applied here because it would be considered a double safeguard, because it can never even come to Issa d'Araisa, even if it completely slips out of his hand. So this is how we learned early in the Gemara, a couple of bar ago, that explains why there's no Issa here. So it doesn't relate to our discussion. Meaning, it's not because it's a sefer that we suspended the Isser. There's no Isser altogether, because we're speaking about Shavuos the Rabban and the Karmelis, and he's still holding on to it. There's no concern whatsoever. Eisveis, Rav Safra challenged him with another kasha from a Mishnah, Meshal Shon Sa Pesach. We're speaking about the Chabura, the group bringing the Karm Pesach. They can lower their animal, Litaner, into the oven, Imcha Sheikha, right before nightfall, meaning right before Shabbos arrives, where generally there's a restriction. One may not do so for concern that he may go ahead and stir the coals on Shabbos, so you can only put something into the oven if it's going to get roasted before Shabbos. But when it comes to the carbon Pesach, we allow them to freely roll it into the tanner without any concern. V'hacha. Now let's analyze. What are we speaking here? The Shavuos de Migdash. We're suspending an Issa de Rabbanan for the sake of the carbon. But where is it taking place? B'medina! It's outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'loi gazrina, shemichata b'kecholim. And we don't seem to be concerned that it may lead them to stir the coals. We're suspending that concern, that Issa d'Rabbanan, for the sake of the carbon, even outside the Beis HaMikdash territory. Ishtik, Sabaya remained silent. He was stumped. Ki asa kamed Rav Yosef, when he returned to Rav Yosef, Amalei, and he told him, Hachi Amalei Rav Safra. You know, Rav Safra challenged me from this Mishnah here. So this was actually Rav Yosef's pshat. Right, Rav Yosef was the one who told us that the Shavuos outside the Beis HaMikdash is not mutter. Rav Safra challenged me. He brought me a kasha from the Mishnah of Karban Pesach. Amalei, so Rav Yosef responded, my time related to Shammai, why didn't you respond to him that it's not a kasha from the Korban Pesach? B'nai Chabura's reasoning. You're members of the Chabura, the group that bring the Korban Pesach, are conscientious. And in that case, the Chachamim rightfully suspended their shvus. There's no concern whatsoever of it coming to a malacha stirring coals. Rosh Hash adds that presumably they appointed a manager, somebody, a learned fellow, a chacham, to direct the affairs there, to show them, instruct them how to proceed. So there's no concern of malacha. V'Abaye, why did Abaye want to respond in this manner? Kaihanim is reason hein amrina. Sure, we say Kaihanim coming to the Beis Hamikdash, as reason. You don't enter the Beis Hamikdash to do avodah unless you're fully well versed, fully knowledgeable in the halachas of avodah. So we assume things were done properly. Yeah, that we say. But bnei chabura is reason hein lo amrina. But to say that the bnei chabura, ordinary fellows bringing the Karim Pesach, who says there's reason, and therefore Abai did not think to respond in this manner. So far we have three approaches to answer the kasha. Says more a fourth approach. Rava Amar, I'm coming to answer the stira between our Mishnah, which allows one to remove a wart from a carbon on Shabbos, whereas the Mishnah Psachim says you cannot remove that wart. Rav Amar, Rabbi Lezerhi. He says like this, that this is actually dependent on the machlokes between Rabbi Lezer, who allows malachis to be done to enable a carbon, to enable a mitzvah, even if it involves a d'oraisa, a malacha, even if you had the opportunity to take care of this before Shabbos. Rav Lezer holds that the machshirim, the accessories, the preparations are equated with the mitzvah itself. And shita is reflected in our Mishnah. Therefore, we can remove that wart from the carbon, although you could have done it before Shabbos. Whereas the Mishnah in Psachim, where the Tanakhama there says, don't remove a wart, reflects Shita's Rabban, who say, look, you could have done this before Shabbos. Therefore, even if it's only a shvus, even if you're going to do it in an indirect manner, kala achayad, removed by hand, etc., it's still awesome. Rav Amar, Rav Lezahi, our Mishnah is following Shita's Rav Lezer, the Amar Machshir Mitzvah, Deichan Sa Shabbos, accessories, preparations of a mitzvah, Deichan Shabbos, and therefore you can remove that wart on Shabbos. But then the obvious question is, then why are you limited to doing it by hand? Why can't you do it with a kli? My dear Blazer agrees, the kama, the efshir, the shanoyim shaninan. Wherever you have the ability to change things, do it a bit differently than it's done during the week, go ahead and drop down, minimize the malacha activity. Instead of using a utensil, do it by hand. You meant to do so. So even though theoretically you can do it with a kli, but we meant to do it by hand, and hence our mission tells us, remove it by hand specifically, but not with a kli. So in conclusion, regarding removing a yabelis, this wart which creates a mum, our Mishnah says you can go ahead and remove it. Mishnah Psachim does not allow. We have four approaches. Number one, the warts in both Mishnahs are speaking about lacha, they're moist and still connected to the flesh. Our Mishnah allows removal because he's doing it by hand, which only entails a shvus. The Mishnah Psachim is speaking about removing it with a kli, which is a malacha d'oraisa, and is not allowed in this case. Approach number two, our Mishnah is speaking about, both Mishnahs are speaking, we're just removing it by hand. Our Mishnah allows because it's dried up and doesn't even entail a malacha d'rabbanan, whereas the Mishnah in Psachim is speaking about a moist wart, in which case is a shvus d'rabbanan, and Tanakhama doesn't allow because he could have done it before Shabbos. Approach number three, both Mishnahs are speaking about moist warts, removal by hand, and a shvus would be mutter in this case, even though he could have done it before Shabbos. He's doing it for the sake of the carbon, and it's mutter. And the difference is, our Mishnah speaking, where the removal is taking place in the Beis HaMikdash. So Chacham suspended their shvus in the Beis HaMikdash territory. Whereas the Mishnah in Psachim is speaking where it's outside the Beis HaMikdash, person's private carbon being done at home, in which case Chacham did not suspend their shvus, even if it's for the sake of a carbon. Finally, the fourth approach is that both Mishnah are speaking about a moist wart being removed by hand, and the Mishnah by us reflects Jesus Rabbi Lezer, who says that any malacha, even a malacha d'oraisa, for the sake of the carbon, can be done But you're meant to be Mishana. Do it a bit differently than the way it's normally done, so do it by hand. Whereas the Mishnah Psachim, which doesn't allow even hand removal, is following Shitas Rabban, who say that even when it comes to a Issa de Rabban, you can't do that if you're able to do it before Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. Okay, so you're telling me, even according to Rablezer, we're meant to minimize our involvement in the Malacha as much as possible. Mai, where do we find support for this concept? The Sanya, as we learned in the Brice, Koyin Sha'olso Bayabelis. If a wart surfaced on the body of a Koyin, which makes him unsuitable for Avoida, it's considered to be a mum. He has to remove it to enable him to do the Avoida in Beis HaMikdash. So if this happened on Shabbos, this wart surfaced on Shabbos itself, how do you remove it? Chaveiroi Choyt Choloi Beshinav. So his friend approaches him and removes, bites the wart using his teeth. Bishinav in. He's not allowed to remove it using his teeth, which is considered a shvus because it's not the ordinary manner in which way you remove a wart. So bishinav in, yes, he can use his teeth. Bikli loy, he can use a kli. That's number one. Number two, chaveiroi in. It can only be done through his friend where the job won't be properly done and it's considered to be a shvus. But he himself can't go ahead and remove his own wart. Now, let's just stop for a second. Rashi brings a machlekes between Reb Elezer and the Chachamim back in Maseches Shabbos. Daf Tzadik Daled Amud Beis. Relating to this topic. So if a person manually removes his nail or his teeth or his hair, he does it himself using his hand. Reb Elezer says, that's considered to be a real malacha. Whereas the Chachamim say, it's not a malacha. It's not properly doing it. It's only a shvus. Now, the Gemara tells us that Reb Elezer would agree that if a person himself, that Reb Elezer agrees that if a friend that comes over and does it for him, it's not a proper job, and even Reb Elezer would agree in that case that it's merely a shvus. There's no malach involved. Okay, so that's a unrelated machlekes. And in our Gemara, we have another machlekes between Reb Elezer and Chachamim regarding machshirim, as we discussed earlier. According to Reb Elezer, a person can do a malacha d'oraisa to enable a carbon, machshir a carbon, even if he could have done it before Shabbos. He equates the preparation of the carbon to the carbon itself, whereas Rabbanu maintain that you can't go do that. And the only thing you can do, according to Rabbanu in this sugya now, is that if it only involves a shvus, and that shvus, that is Rabbanu, could not have been done before Shabbos, then you can do that on Shabbos as well to enable the carbon. Okay, so we have two really unrelated machlekes in Lezen Chacham, they're really not linked to each other, but they're going to be enwrapped with each other in this Braisa here. So again, the Braisa tells us if the Kayan discovers a wart, his friend approaches and bites it off using his teeth. This is in a manner which is not the typical to remove a wart. Says the Gemara Mani, let's analyze the Braisa which requires the wart to be removed using his teeth, and specifically only his friend can do it. Ilemi Rabbanon, are we following Shitas Rabbanon regarding the other question? The question regarding Machshirei Karbon. Rabbanon say that you can't go ahead and do a malacha to enable the carbon. The only thing you can do is a shvus. And therefore, Uba Migdash, since we're speaking about enabling the carbon race, a Migdash Acham suspended a shvus, and that's the reason why you can remove the wart in a manner which only entails the Issa Rabbanon, using your teeth, using your friend. Says the Gemara, one second. But what's the Rabbanon's opinion back in Maseches Shabbos regarding wart removal? So removing hair, removing nails, warts, seems to be all in the same, one in the same category. So what's the Rabbanon's shita there? They hold that even if a person does it to himself, self-removal is also only a shvus. So if the heter here is because it's a shvus for the sake of the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, so fine, we understand that you can't use a kli because that would entail a malacha, but what's the difference if he himself removes it or his friend? In either case, Rabban over there hold, Rabban Maseches Shabbos hold that even self-removal would only be a shvus. Says the Gemara, kiven da'amir Rabban ba'alma mishum shvus. Since Rabban generally hold that this type of procedure is only a shvus. Hacha, in our case, where we allow a shvus, malihu, mali chaver. What's the difference if he himself removes it or his friend? So apparently the Brisa is not following Shitas Rabbanu. Ela lav Rabbi Elazar. Apparently following Rabbi Elazar the Omar. Ba'al mechayev chatas, who maintains that generally speaking, if a person self-removes, he's chayev chatas. And in our case, since we're speaking about doing it for the sake of the korban based on midosh, really, even a malacha, even a proper malacha would be mutter, according to Rabbi Elazar. According to him, you can do this because for the sake of the mitzvah. So why then does a braisa specifically only allow his friend to approach him, where there's no malacha involved? Because even Rabbi Elazar holds that self-removal is a malacha, but his friend removing it doesn't produce a proper result, and it's not considered to be a malacha. Why? Why does it have to be done that manner? If according to Rabbi Elazar, even machshir a mitzvah deicha Shabbos, even when we're speaking about a real malach? Apparently, we prove from this braisa, kama de'efshel shanuyim mishaninim. Whenever we have the option of minimizing our involvement, diminishing the level, going down, dropping from a malacha to a shvus, we're meant to do so. So even though theoretically, technically, we're allowed to do a true malacha, but Rabbi Elazar maintains that we advise you to drop down. And therefore, rather than doing it in a melacha manner, doing it yourself, self-removal, we only allow his friend to come over and do it, which only entails a shvus. So this proves our point. It says, no, lo'ilam rabbanon, we're speaking about shitas rabbanon, who really hold that this heter only applies to a shvus. Only if you're doing it in a isad rabbanon, then we can do it for the sake of kavod, but not a malach. Now, if that's the case, again, why? We understand why it has to be done with your teeth, because that's only a shvus, but why can't he self-remove it? The Rabban hold even self-removal only entails a shvus, right? That was the kasha we asked. Says loyim Rabbanon, certainly we're following Shittas Rabbanon. The question is, why does his friend have to do it? Very simple, out of practical considerations. Be also a bit crazy if the wart would have surfaced on his abdomen. Hachinami, certainly he would have done it himself. He has perfect access to it. Hachamai skin was speaking, kan she'osole neshicha begabai. This wart, which needs to be bitten off, surfaced on his back, where he has no access. But sila yodav, on his elbow. Ilay matzi shakala, he has no ability to remove it. That's why he asks his friend to do it for him. But certainly he himself can do it, because even if he himself removes it, it only involves a shvus, which is mutter, according to the Rabbanan, for the sake of the carbon in the Beis HaMikdash. Says him, 1 second. But why remove it using his teeth? Why can't he remove it using his hands? Which is merely a shvus. V'Rabbanon, if we're following Shittas Rabbanon, nishkel in the other biyad. Why doesn't the Braisa instruct him to remove it using his hands? And actually, it would be better for the Braisa to instruct him in this manner, because that would teach us something. You know what it would teach us? Number one, it would teach us that you can use your hands, but not a kli, because that's a malacha. According to Chachamim, a malacha is not justified for the sake of the carbon. That's number one. Number two, v'tifshe d'Rabbi Elazar. This would teach us. This would support Rabbi Elazar's din. Rabbi Elazar tells us there in Maseches Shabbos regarding that machlokes between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim about removing something from one's body. So Rabbi Elazar, the Amor, explained, machlokes b'yad. You meant to know that the context of the machlekes there is only when he removes it using his hands. He manually removes his hair, his nail, his wart. Ava bekli, but should he use a kli divar kol chayiv? All agree, there's a chayiv chatas. So, if the braisa here would have told us, look, use your hands, that would indicate that only hands, because it's a shvus, because a kli, all agree, is a chayiv chatas. Even the Rabbanon agreed to Rabbi Elazar back in Masechet Shabbos that removing your nail or your hair using a kli is a true malacha. So there would be lots of lessons learned from this braisa, should the braisa have described the halacha and the allowance specific to a hand as opposed to a kli. We would learn something from it. But why is the braisa choose to speak about teeth, which now leaves things open in the air? Meaning you have no indication that Rabbi Elazar's interpretation of that machlokes is correct. meaning we only allow one way, which is a shvus, but not the other way, which is a melacha, which indicates that a kli is a melacha. We don't really have that proven from our braisa, because look, the braisa doesn't even allow using your hands, which is merely a shvus. The braisa is limiting the hetta to using your teeth. So there's nothing to be learned from this braisa. It's a bit confusing for us. There must be a different reason, perhaps, why teeth are required. And in any case, we have no right from this braisa that the heter is only because it's not a kli, but if it would be a kli, it would be an issa deraisa. Perhaps, just as you can't use your hands, although it's an issa derabbanan, you can't use a kli, although it's an issa derabbanan as well. So do we nothing proven from this braisa? Why then does the braisa specify use your teeth, rather than say, use your hands, which would indicate, look, hands, yeah, because it's a shvus, but not a kli, which is a malach. And this would prove to us that all agree a kli is a malach. So we have a bit of a difficulty with this braisa's wording. If the braisa is following Shitas Rabbanan, who allow a shvus, but not a malacha, why can't he use his hands? Okay, a kli not, but why is not his hands? It says in the Gemara, Tameich. Now, according to your challenge, meaning, fine, it can't be the Rabbanan because of this kasha. So if the braisa would be Rabbi Lezer, would it be any better? The Rabbi Lezer nami, according to Rabbi Lezer as well. Lishkalei ne'ele biyat. Why can't his friend approach him and remove the ward using his hand? Meaning, why did the braisa limit the heter to teeth removal? Says the Gemara, that we can answer. It is more logical to say that the braisa is following Shita Rabbi Lezer. I will explain why the braisa is limiting to the heter to removing of the ward using his teeth rather than using his hands. Hi, Maya. So we'll explain it like this. It works well if the braisa is following Shitas Rabbi Lezer. Which Rabbi Lezer? Rabbi Lezer holds that a malacha deraisa can be done for the sake of a carbon. And theoretically speaking, you can even remove this wart from the kayin using a kli, which is a malacha. That's fine. However, we know that Rabbi Lezer requires shinoi. Whenever you could, you meant to minimize your involvement in the malacha. Therefore, rather than using a kli, you must drop down. But you must drop down all the way to the bottom. Don't even use your hands. Use your teeth, which is really an inconvenient and inefficient way of removing that wart. So you meant to go down all the way to the bottom. So now we understand the braisa. Hainu de gazar yada to kli. He says, don't use your hands because it might lead a person to use a kli. Meaning, a person will say, look, according to Rabbi Lezer, you're allowed to use a kli. It's machshir karb, it's machshir mitzvah. So if the braisa allows him to use his hand, he might get confused and say, well, I'll decide instead of using my hands, which is only a shvus, I'll use a kli. Therefore, the braisa specifically says, don't even use your hands for this purpose. Use your teeth, which demonstrates and indicates, look, you meant to minimize as much as possible. So don't even do a hand removal, which is a semi-proper, efficient way of removing it. Use your teeth, which are completely inefficient, an improper way of removal. So understand the braisa, why teeth, and only teeth are allowed. El yamas rabbanan. However, if the braisa is following Shitas Rabbanan, if the braisa is reflecting Rabbanan, who say that a proper malacha is not allowed, only a shvus is allowed. Nishkalei ne'ele biyad. Why can't he just remove it using his hands? I mean, there's no room for confusion. Everybody knows you can't do a malacha. So should we allow him to remove it using his hands? It's not going to lead a person to cut off the ward using a kli. There's no room for that gzera. So why didn't the braisa discuss hand removal? As we mentioned earlier, it would actually be beneficial for us. It would teach us a lesson. It would support that halacha of Rabbi Lezer back in Masechet Shabbos, who says that the Rabbanan only considered hand removal issues, but using a kli is a malacha. And this would be indicated in this braisa as well, because the braisa is telling us, look, you can use your hands, which is a shvus, but you can't use a kli, which is a malacha. So the braisa should have done that. Rather, the braisa only allowed using your teeth, which now doesn't teach us much. it's not going to teach us that a kli is a malacha, because look, you can only use your teeth. You can't use your hands, even though hands are not either a malacha. So perhaps there's another reason why you can't do anything other than teeth. So there's no right from here that a kli is a malacha. So why didn't the Braisa discuss hands, which would indicate hands are shvus, and therefore it's mutter, and not a kli, which is a malacha? Why did the Braisa speak about teeth? So apparently this approach is incorrect. The Braisa is Rabbi Elazar. As we explained, there's room for confusion, because according to Rabbi Elazar, even a kli is really mutter. Therefore, the Braisa found it necessary to only allow in the case of a teeth, which is really mitigating the concern. It indicates to us that we want to mishana as much as possible. Go all the way down, just use your teeth. So this supports our contention that according to Rabbi Elazar, even though theoretically it's mutter to do malacha, but we were meant to be mishana, to deviate, to conduct ourselves differently, change from the norm, minimize our involvement, v'sulei midi, and it doesn't seem to be any additional challenges and responses here, meaning we have nothing more to ask, nothing more to add. Our raya seems to be substantiated according to Rabbi Elazar. Wherever you can be mishana, you're meant to be mishana. Continues the Mishnah. There's another example of a shvus, which was suspended for the sake of the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Koyin shaloka be'etzboi, if a koyin has a wound on his finger, koyrech le'agami be'milash, he can wrap this reed grass, which actually aids and remedies the wound. He can do it in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of the avoda, to cover up the wound out of respect for the avoda, and perhaps we're speaking that he has no other material to use for this purpose. So that could be done in the Beis HaMikdash. Avaloi b'medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash, because one is not meant to engage in remedies on Shabbos for concern that he might crush those ingredients, which is a malach of toichen. Im lo hitzi dam, but if his intention is to extract blood, which is a malach of deraisa, a malach of choyvel, kam v'kanasa, that can't be done in or out of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's see Rashi inside. So if we take a look at the wide line, so it's about the seventh line down, right in the middle of that line, masnisen. Says Rashi, koirich le'agemi, he can wrap a gemi. V'afa pishal gemi marpes ha'maka, although the gemi benefits and remedies the maka, that's allowed. Hoyel v'ashta mia tzerich avoydi, since he's doing it for the sake of the service in Beis HaMikdash, it's mutter. D'lav oirich arash, hetera makasa, it's not proper that his wound should be open and exposed. Im avoyda, with the avoyda that he's doing, im mechasa is a gemi. Therefore, he covers it with this band-aid. Avaloi b'medina, but not outside the Beis HaMikdash. Shemirape b'Shabbos, because it's doing refu on Shabbos. Urefu b'Shabbos, shvusi v'asr. So a shvus is suspended in the Beis HaMikdash for the sake of avoid. V'im lo iti dam, but if his intention is to extract blood. Shema'atke b'gemi, he tightens it. Lo iti dama, to extract blood, that's a malach. Kan v'kan asr. That's asr in either case. She'en zetzerich avoid. First of all, it's not really benefiting the avoida. V'oid, in addition, davalei choyvel. He's doing a malacha of choyvel, av malacha. Lo yimish l'gabayu. And the av malacha is not allowed, even for the kohen in the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Yehuda brei de Rabbi Chiya. Lo yishanu el gemi. The Mishnah only allows placing a gemi, which is not a garment, not a beged. There's no concern. Aval tzilzel katan, but if he uses even a small strap, a band, he can't wrap it on his finger because he's adding to the total number of begadim that he's wearing. And we know that a kohen who wears begadim in excess of the number, the amount of begadim, kohen head is meant to wear 4, kohen gadol meant to wear 8. If he adds begadim, he's disqualified from avoda. So even the small band sitting on his finger is considered to be an added begad, which disqualifies him from the avoda. So you can only use a band-aid, this gemi, but not 8 tzilzel katan. So that's the first opinion. For Rabbi Yechon Amar, he disagrees. He says, there's no concern of Yitur Begadim. Loi Amru Yitur Begadim El Bemakim Begadim. Only on the person's, on the location on the body where a person is meant to wear Begadim. So an additional Begad gets added to the total and disqualifies it. Loi Amru Yitur Begadim El Bemakim Begadim. Avo Shaloi Bemakim Begadim. But if it's out of the area in the body which is meant to accommodate clothing, for instance on his finger, well, you have a yitur begadim. An additional begad doesn't create any concern. Continues the Gemara. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah where he's going to place a gemi or according to Rabbi Yochanan, even a band on his finger is okay. Why doesn't this present a chatzitza problem? It's creating a barrier between the kohen and the kli that he's holding. It's meant to have direct contact with the kli during avodah. So that's more of a smile. He placed the band-aid on his left hand, which is not involved in the act of avodah. Inami b'imin. Alternatively, it's on his right. Shalom makam avodah. However, it's not in the place of avodah, for instance, on the top of his hand, which is not meant to come into contact with the kli. Continues the Gemara. So we have the first opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rav Chiya that an added beged, even on his finger, which is not a location which is meant to accommodate b'gadim, is considered to be yitur b'gadim, whereas Rabbi Yechanan says it is not. Upliga de Rav. Rabbi Yechanan's shita that when something is outside the makam b'gadim, that doesn't present a concern, is in dispute of Rav. The Amar Rav Amar Rav Chizda, but makam b'gadim, if he adds material under his beged, even if it's just one strand, one thread, that creates a barrier between the beged, which is meant to lie directly on the kohen's flesh. It creates a chatzitza. However, if it's outside the makam of the begadim, for instance, on his finger, where he doesn't wear clothing, in that case, it depends how large that material is. If it has a shear of beged, yeah, that's considered to be an added beged and disqualifies it. Shalish al shalish chotitzes. If the material is large enough, 3x3, etzbois, finger widths, that has a shear of a beged, and chotitzes here is just a baratum. It means that it creates a concern because it's considered to be an added beged, even if he wears it on his finger. Pachetz mishalish al shalish, even chotitzes. But if it's less than 3x3, etzbois, it's not deemed a beged, and it's not considered to be as though he's wearing an additional beged. So Rav, the name of Chizda tells us that even Shaloi b'makim gadim, if it's a significantly sized beged, that gets added to his total amount of gadim and makes him pasul for avoid. And Rabbi Yochanan, vadei pliga, he's certainly in dispute. Rabbi Yochanan maintains that anything out of the area of the gadim, on his finger for instance, doesn't pose any concern. So he's certainly being chaylik on that. Says the Gemara, but what about the first shita, who told us that a cut on this small band worn on a finger is considered to be an added beged, even though it's not 3x3 it's boys. So is that in dispute of Rava, the name of Chizda requires it to be a large size beged? Is there a machlekes here, or perhaps can we reconcile the shitas? Ad Rav Yehuda braid the Rabbi Chiya, me name a pligim? Should we assume that he's in dispute of that shita as well? Who says that even a small band is reckoned with? Says the Gemara, no. Perhaps generally it needs to be properly sized. Shani tzilzul cut on the chasha. Perhaps a small band is different because it has prominence. It's considered to be a complete entity. It's a band. It's a belt. So even if it's small in size, that's considered to be an extra beged and makes him puzzle. So in conclusion, Rabbi Yechon maintains adding a beged in a place, on a place of his guf, where he's not meant to wear clothing, for instance, his hand, his finger, that's not considered to be yitur b'gadim. Whereas Rava tells us it is considered to be an extra beged, even if it's on his finger, provided it's large in size, 3x3 it's boys. And then we're concluded that perhaps even if it's smaller, but it's a item of prominence, like a tzilzul katan, it would be considered to be an extra beged. Lishna achrina amrila, there's another version of Rabbi Yechanan Shita. So according to the first version, Rabbi Yechanan says, Shaloi b'makim gadim, there's no concern. In the second version, he's going to say, even Shaloi b'makim gadim, if it's 3x3, it's boys, it's considered to be an extra beged. Lishna achrina amrila, there's another version of events. Omer Rav Yehuda, Beidar Bechia, so Gemara is going to repeat the whole discussion, but really, the only difference will be in Rabbi Yechanan Shita. So we have the first statement, Omer Rav Yehuda, Beidar Bechia, Leishanu. The Mishnah only allows a legemi using this reed grass, which is not a beged. But if it's a small band, that's considered to be an extra beged, which makes him pasul favoid. Rabbi Yechon Omar, no, a small band, that doesn't have significance. Yeah, if it's sitting under his beged, between the beged and the flesh, so yeah, even if it's small in size, less than 3x3, it creates a chatzitza. But if it's outside of the makam of b'gadim, for instance, on a person's finger, then a small band creates no concern. Sholosh al sholosh chaytet says. If it's 3x3, it's considered a beged. That is chaytet, Rashi explains, it's considered to be an extra beged. However, pachas misholosh, if it's smaller than 3, it's not reckoned with ein chaytet zayt. It's not considered to be an added beged. So it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan is disagreeing with the first shita of Rabbi Yehuda. He says, even a small band which has prominence is not reckoned with. If it's shaloi b'makim gadim, if it's less than 3x3, it's boys. V'ayinu d'rav, am Rav Chizda. And this concurs with Rav, the name of Chizda, that also requires it to be properly sized to be considered a yitur b'gadim. Says the Gemara, but one second. Lema pliga, should we say, do we have to say that Rav, who says that it needs to be 3x3, is being chilek on Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even a band, it's also katan, is considered to be an extra beged. Lema pliga. To Rabbi Yehuda, breda rechia? Do we have to say that he's in dispute of that shita? Now, Rabbi Yochanan certainly is disagreeing, because Rabbi Yochanan responded to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, no, a band is nothing. It has to be 3x3. But Rava, in the name of Chizda, who didn't direct his words at Rabbi Yehuda, he simply stated that you need to be 3x3. But perhaps, in the case of Rabbi Yehuda, where it's a tzilsel katan, which has added chashivas, perhaps he would agree that is equated with 3x3. Says, well, yeah, shani tzilsel katan the chashiv. A small band is indeed different, it's chashiv, and Rava would agree in that case, it's considered to be yitur begadim. So according to the second approach, Rabbi Yochanan says, even a small band is not considered to be yitur begadim, it needs to be 3x3. Whereas Rava and the other shita hold that 3x3, or if it is a band which has chashivas. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that even a tzotzel is not a concern if it's sitting on his finger. Shleibu makam gadim. Adash min gemi. Why did the Mishnah describe the halacha as the kohen wrapping a gemi which is not a beged? Lishmin and tzotzel katan. The Mishnah could have told us a greater chiddush, that he can wrap even a small band on his finger because it's shleibu makam gadim and it's not 3x3, it's boys. Says the Gemara, Musa agav urcha kamash malon. The Mishnah wanted to teach us by using these words, the gemi masi, that you can use even this gemi, although it benefits, it remedies the maka. You can still use it, as we explained earlier, because it's a shvus letzarech avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore was allowed, even on Shabbos. That's why the Mishnah specifically picked the gemi in order to teach us this halacha. But not to say that you can't use a tzitzel, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, even a tzitzel, which is a small band, can be used. There's no concern of yitur begadim. So in conclusion, we learned that if a kohen adds a beged to his prescribed begadim, yitur begadim, but it's shaloi b'makom gadim, it's not in the area where he wears begadim, it's on his finger, etc. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us, if it's a small band, that's considered to be an extra beged. Rabbi Yochanan, we have two approaches. According to the first version, he says, that's not considered to be an extra beged. If it's out of the makom gadim, no matter how large it is. According to the second approach, if it's outside the makom gadim, if it's 3x3, then it's considered. Rava tells us that if it's 3x3, it is reckoned with, and the Gemara concludes, that it would seem that even he would agree that a tzotzel katan, due to its chashivas, is considered to be yitur begadim. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We learned that one may remove a wart from the korban on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash, provided that it's only a shvus if he's doing it by hand, because the Chachamim suspended the Isser shvus for the sake of the korban Beis HaMikdash, but he can't do it using a kli, which entails a melacha min HaTorah. We had a stira between our Mishnah, which allows the removal of this wart, whereas in the Mishnah Psachim, the Mishnah doesn't allow it. The Gemara presented us with four approaches to answer the contradiction. We learned that even according to Reb Lezer, who generally allows even a melacha gemurah to be done for the sake of machshirei mitzvah, however, we're meant to minimize as much as possible. We have another example of a shvus, which was allowed in the Beis HaMikdash. The kohen can wrap this gemi on his wound for the sake of the avodah, but he can't do it in a way where it involves a melacha such as extracting the dam. We concluded with a discussion about yitur begadim, shaloi b'makim gadim. So if he places an added beged on himself outside the area where he generally wears his begadim, such as on his finger, is that considered to be an added beged? We have machlekes.